Good evening.
Good evening.
So thankful that we get to be here together. Trust you've had a great afternoon. Weather is really nice outside, and I'm thankful we get to come back together tonight. One song that Scott sang a few minutes ago talked about goodness and mercy. And when I thought about our lesson, and I compared it to the song that he was leading, how does Scripture train us? Well, Scripture trains us to obviously do God's will if we will submit ourselves to it and follow Scripture. But also, not in a selfish way, but we also get to internalize, we get to embrace that goodness, that mercy that we read about in Scripture. It's so comforting in our times of need, and we're trying to look for answers in life. Tonight, I tried to incorporate a few more notes on the slides. I'm a note taker. I like taking notes. Some of you are too. So try to incorporate some things on the slides you may want to write down, refer to. But our title for tonight is just simply, how does Scripture train us? Four things I want you to think about. They're not up there, but just think about Scripture provides us with direction, guidance, and assurance of pleasing God the Father. We all have the opportunity to benefit from the sweet life that Scripture offers all of us. We should always be eager to please Him and not disappoint Him. And something that I built this lesson around, I told some of the parents that tonight it's going to be built on a little bit of my experience at camp last week. I'll go ahead and plug camp in the fact that our youth need you. Our youth need us all to be involved, our kids, our grandkids. And camp is one area that it seems like there's just a shortage of people. So please consider that, and you'll see the opportunities that exist there for next year. You've got a year. Go ahead and plan and think about it and all those things. I don't need, but appreciate it, and our kids would too. This year was a little different for me. We've gone to camp the last 5 or 6 years roughly. And if you've ever gone to camp as a staff member, as an adult, everybody has a role, but you have multiple roles because the staff run the camp, and everybody does. Everybody has multiple roles. You may be working in the kitchen. You may be teaching a class. I'm a water boy, and I teach a class, do a couple other things as Nick. But Nick approached me this year, and he said, you're going to be in a cabin. That's great. It's better than sleeping outside. No, you're going to be in a cabin with kids. I thought, that's cool. That's good. That's fine. You know, we've got two kids. Two teenagers, and time kind of unfolded. You learn that everything kind of gets released in thirds. You think about when you're trying to nail your kids down about something, you don't get the full story. It's always in thirds. And I would go back to Nick every few weeks, and I'd get it in thirds, just a little bit at a time, he knew I wouldn't get out of wiggle out of it when time came closer. And he said, oh, by the way, the day before, he said, the kids you're going to have, you're going to have them by yourself. I was still okay with that. And he said, you're going to have 7 and 8-year-olds. He said, real fast, and walk up. And I thought, well, you know, that's cool. That's cool. That's fine. It'll be fine. And I will say, I had the best kids out of the whole camp. I know other people may kind of contest that a little bit. But we had about 10 7 and 8-year-olds. Had the best kids out of the whole camp. But I will tell you, it's been a while since I've had kids that small. Wasn't intimidated, but I knew that I needed to come up with something. I've got to be able to keep them focused. So I had this plan. I walked in the first night in our little cabin. Doesn't have my mean face on, but I have my business face on, you know, that I've got to set this tone. You got to have order. I mean, they're all great kids, and all of them are South Green kids with the exception of one. But still, even with my own kids, somebody's got to be in charge. You got to have order. So I had this grandiose plan that I was going to walk in, give them, you know, lay the law down, close the door, and I begin to talk to them about something I came up with called the 3 B's. You know, I thought short, little mnemonic device, they can remember that. And as I get into my spiel, a little kid that's not one of our kids takes off running, almost knocks me down, grabs me around the legs and hugs me, says, I'm glad you're here. I thought, well, this is going to be kind of different. So after I stood him up, you know, because I have some kind of large personal space, I stood him up, put him over there. I went through the 3 B's. And your kids would be able to tell you those 3 B's. And we're going to touch on those just in a few minutes. But it relates to us. It got us through camp. And I wanted something those kids that I work with could remember, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I compare that to my life, to your life. And we'll go through those just in a minute. But real quickly, the 3 B's, the orange to tell you, Luke can tell you. Beckett Burris, any of those kids in my academy can tell you. Number one, I told them, you've got to be focused. Be focused. You got it? Yes, yeah, I got it. We got that down. The number two thing you've got to be, you've got to be where you're supposed to be. We're on a tight schedule at camp from sun up till midnight, it seems. You've got to be where you're supposed to be. And the third thing is one of my pet peeves, you've got to be clean. You know, nobody likes taking a shower at nighttime. The one little kid that gave me didn't like to be challenged a whole lot. We were up at the bathhouse about 11 o'clock one night. Everybody's worn out. And he just pointed his finger at me and he said, my mama said I'm only supposed to do this once a day. I said, that's right. And right now is that time of the day. We're going to do it before we go to bed. But I relate that to all of us and from our spiritual life. You go to be focused. And that relates to what David read, getting verses 11 through 12. Be focused. I want to share some statistics, or just a couple of statistics with you real quick. I struggle with my attention span sometimes. I think on some level we all do. But I struggle with Jeremy. I was in a conversation with him one day and I was talking and Jeremy said, you know, Alan, I've only met a few people to be able to do what you're doing. I had no idea what he was talking about. He said, you can shift subjects in one conversation, just go back and forth and keep going around. I struggle with focus. From a spiritual standpoint, we can't struggle with focus. We've got to have our priorities in order. God has to be first. But I wanted to share with you that researchers tell us that the attention span for speeches and presentation is around 20 minutes. Right, and I took note of that as I fill in for Bart, as I teach a class, I try to remember that. That on the average, most of us, me included, we can't really go any longer from our paying attention. We're up no longer than 20, 25, 30 minutes. You get start hitting 30 minutes, people are unplugged. I unplug. If you ever watch the TED Talks, the motivational speeches, most of those are timed about 18 minutes, just under the 20-minute cap. And if you notice, also with sermons, researchers tell us that people can only focus on 3 points. On the average, in general, you get more than 3 points, we kind of get overwhelmed. Maybe researchers also tell us that the attention span for humans is 8 seconds. If you ask a human to focus on something, on the average, our attention span is about 8 seconds. A goldfish attention span is 9 seconds. So our attention span is just a little less than a goldfish, and I think mine is way on down closer to zero. Losing focus, we know, is easy for all of us to do. When this happens, it's when sin enters into our life. That's why that we need to practice our faith. What does it mean to practice? Well, obviously, come to Bible class, come to worship services, participate in the work of the church, that we guard ourselves from that lack of focus. God, as David read, God doesn't want anyone to be left out of his family. You think about your family. Your own personal immediate family. You don't want anybody to be left out of anything. You want to be inclusive. Include your family in all the activities in your life, in your house. And that's the same way the way God views us. He doesn't want anybody to be left out of his family. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Scripture does not discriminate because God does not discriminate. Everybody has the opportunity to respond to Christ. This morning we spent a good amount of time talking about the invitation. And you don't have to come down front to respond to the invitation. You can respond to the invitation by making changes in your life, by praying, by developing better study habits in Bible class. There's different ways to respond. But we must understand that everybody has the opportunity to respond. Nobody's left out. The responsibility and the weight lies with us. But before conversion takes place, what must happen? Truth must be understood and knowledge must be obtained. What happens when we are focused, when priorities are in order? When our priorities are in order, we're focused, our attention span is in check. Well, we can say no to sin and say yes to godliness. We live out God's directives in such a way as we have a view and we're anticipating Christ's return. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Being focused will allow us to fully understand the reward that awaits us. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience, which provides the basis of eternal salvation. Now we know Jesus Christ, as a youngster growing up, did not lack anything in terms of knowledge, but yet was viewed obviously as a child, until he grew up, until he continued to grow into adulthood. But yet he went through the process of suffering, through the process of growth. I think about, you know, I always tell everybody that, you know, middle school was the two hardest years of my life. I don't know about you, but that age, you know, and I'm around middle school kids a lot. They're one person at 10, or somebody else at 2. And, you know, depending on what's going on and where the moon is, it seems at that time of the day. But we know that that's part of growing up, the process. And it's challenging. It's hard. But yet, if we can live a life of obedience, get through the suffering, and allow the process of our faith to work, then we will be stronger, more faithful, more faithful Christians. While we will never be perfect, we do have a perfect example in Jesus Christ to follow, for us to obey, and for us to know the way, because he is showing the way and he is going the way. Go to verse 13 and 14 of Titus chapter 2. Be where you're supposed to be. I will tell you, I try not to let it, let our parents know, but I didn't worry about my little guys at camp, you know, trying to keep up with 8 or 10, 7 and 8 year olds. And yeah, we're all there as a family, you know, you're on that campus, so to speak. But I didn't worry about my guys getting where they were supposed to be. So we tried to go to the craft hut or the craft classroom or where we're going to make sure you got where you're supposed to be. And that was one of the things, and I even kind of let Be Clean kind of slide a little bit when I was kind of talking to them, but I wanted you to be where you're supposed to be. I don't want anybody to get lost. I don't want anybody to get hurt. And that's the same thing with us on our spiritual walk, to be where we're supposed to be. Now, obviously, we're where we are supposed to be tonight. When we went to Oak Hill in Monroe County, we had an elder. I used to love it when he would get up and have opening announcements in the morning or on Sunday night. And he would say, there's no better place for you to be than to be right here. And that always stuck with me. You're worshiping God and you're with brothers and sisters in Christ. That we're all supposed to be where we are supposed to be. If you look at James chapter 2, verse 26. Without faith is dead, the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you go back to our assignments, our responsibilities, think about your workplace. Think about where you're supposed to be. There are reprimands that take place. If you're not on the job site where you're supposed to be, and you're assigned spot, what happens? We know that there are consequences. Spiritually speaking, if we're not where we're supposed to be, we know that there are consequences in life. We know that we can't deal with challenges, with uphill battles. We know that we cannot, when the storms of life continue to blow, that we will sometimes falter and wither, it seems. We're supposed to be in the right location spiritually, so that we do not despise the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What does Christ's death make us? Well, it makes us to be holy and righteous as we reflect him. Being in the spot that we're supposed to be means we are working. A few minutes ago, I plugged camp. And there are lots of other opportunities here at South Green for you to be a part of, for me to be a part of. But that's part of working. It's part of us participating in the work of the church. That allows us to grow and to be where we're supposed to be literally, figuratively, and spiritually. Because we know this will allow us to, just as Christ seeks and saves the lost, it allows us to help those who are counting on us. Ronnie Turner, I think, told me the other day, the last soup kitchen date that South Green had, he said it was a big day. We fed about 140 people. And that tells me that there are a lot of people with a lot of needs in our community that are counting on, not just us, but a lot of people. But that tells me that there are a lot of people that need us to be where we're supposed to be. terms of reaching out beyond these walls, reaching out to others. If you go to verse 15, be clean. Now, we know that this is important. As I, you know, as Nick told me my assignment, gave me my assignment, that was one of the things that I thought, if I keep these guys safe, if I can keep them focused, I also want to keep them clean, because if you know a camp, yes, we do have air. They do have air down there. But it's a lot of busy running and being dirty. That's what you do as a kid, and it was fun. But also I know that we didn't want to go to bed and get up the next day and just have to deal with being dirty. So I impressed upon our guys to be clean physically. Now, with us spiritually, we need to be clean. Is that more of a challenge for us today than it ever has been? Yes, it has. It is. You know, we all make generational comparisons. You know, my parents compared generations to my generation, and it's always gloom and doom of the generation that's coming, so to speak. But I try to look at it the other way, that there are more challenges for these guys than the challenges that I had. I had more challenges than people who were in their 60s, 70s, or 80s. And it seems like every generation is getting harder and harder for Christians to remain clean in thought, clean in mind, because of all the things that's pulling against us. But now we have social media. You never get away from inappropriate things. I know for us, I was going to drive it Monday night. We went to Summer Youth Series event, and it was a challenge. I finally turned the radio off just to listen to the radio, driving down the road, trying to find something that you could listen to. Well, you could never find more than two songs in a row to listen to. I couldn't. So finally, Asa was my co-pilot. I said, just turn the thing off, because it was such a challenge. Because there's nothing clean coming out of the radio worth listening to. And we all deal with that today, from the things we're exposed to, even in the workplace maybe, language. So I wanted my little guys to be clean physically, but also I thought about us being clean spiritually, being clean in thought, in mind, in word, and action. If you go to John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We have a responsibility to Christ once we know what he expects. Everybody has a responsibility to come to Christ. But once you've been to Bible class, once you've had the gospel shared with you, once that you have studied, we have a responsibility to come to Christ and to keep ourselves clean. You know, I heard something at camp that really resonated with me. Somebody was talking to a youngster that it's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to react to that temptation. We're all, you know, if you can kind of metaphorically think, as we walk the streets of our life, that it seems like we constantly have mud thrown at us, things pulling at us, trying to get us to look a certain direction, go a certain direction, say something, open the door we shouldn't open. It is tough to be clean, but yet we have a responsibility to be clean. This is what we read about in John chapter 6, verse 45. We're to go to Jesus Christ. But how can we do that? Well, sustained activity results in action. That if we can continue to practice our faith by study, by growth, by participating in the work of the church, that we will be able to hopefully be strengthened and be much stronger. If you go to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, I'm always trying to think of the future of my kids, grandkids, one day, maybe, and just as you do. And I'm always trying to think about what's next, the next generation. What are they dealing with? How can we help them? How can we put things in place now that's going to help our kids later on from a spiritual standpoint? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. We have a promise. We have that we can have future blessings from God if we show our allegiance to him today. If we teach our kids to show allegiance to God, that they will have future blessings, that they will understand, as Scott led the song, in part of that song, goodness and mercy. But, you know, not a perfect life, but not by any means, but you'll have a sweeter life. If we give our submit to Christ, and we'll understand that goodness and mercy, that we teach those statutes, those commandments to our kids and our grandkids and beyond. Otherwise, if we cannot stay clean, we know what happens in life. We get caught up in the ugliness of sin. We get caught up in the challenges of life. We get caught up in division of family. We get caught up in division of church. And even in our society, that it's a more and more of a challenge to get through if we're not clean. But we must strive to do our best. Otherwise, we get bogged down. I know I guess maybe over-relate, but I think about the kids that I work with, that I see on a daily basis, not just in the alternative school setting, but I see a lot of kids from divided homes, from divided families. And they're good kids. They really are. But they're in bad situations. And you work with kids, and if you work in those type of situations, and social work in, you see a lot of kids who end up suffering for people who have not been able to stay clean spiritually and morally. And they're the ones who end up suffering, it seems. But we don't want that for our kids. We want our kids to be clean spiritually, in mind, morally, and in thought. As a summary, we talked about that we all struggle with focus. Social media, work-related stress, health issues, family challenges that may affect our spiritual growth, that we need to make sure that we have our priorities in order to remain focused. We've all dealt with work-related stress. It impacts a lot of things. We've all dealt with physical challenges, our health problems, if we can't take care of ourselves sometimes. And that in itself impacts our spiritual life at times, as hard as we try. We must maintain our focus. Be where we're supposed to be, both figuratively and literally. That there's much good can come from being just simply with the saints. There's so much good that can come from that. Participating in activities with our youth, with our young at heart group, anything to fellowship with one another. I'm excited about one of our words in our one word class. We're going to talk about fellowship. And fellowship is, we're commanded to do that. We're fellowship to live peace with all men for us to get along with one another. And all things to be clean. That we need to make sure that we are focused, be where we're supposed to be, and be clean. I talked about the 7 and 8 year old kids that I had. We had a great week at camp. They were a lot of fun. They taught me a lot. I learned a lot. I hope that was able to help them in some small way. But I thought about those 3 points. And really, I came up with those 3 points to them just really out of survival, really out of self-defense, to try to get through each day. But we ended up embracing those as kind of our motto, our mantra. But I've also embraced those for me personally. That's made an impact, with me. But yet, maybe a huge struggle with being focused. There's something that's kept you from being committed to Christ. Maybe there's something that's kept you from having 100% all-in buy-in to Christianity, to following Christ. Or maybe that you've not been where you've been supposed to have been, both literally and figuratively. Maybe you've been to some places you shouldn't have been. Maybe you've been with some people you shouldn't have been with. Maybe you're not where you need to be on your personal growth chart, so to speak, that we're all striving. We're all striving to grow and get better. Maybe you're not there yet, but you want to get there. Or the third point, maybe you struggle with being clean. Maybe that the world has bogged you down and pulled you down just as it has me and all of us at different times. The good news with all three of the B's, if you struggle with all three of the B's, and we all have at some level, the good news is that following Christ will allow us to be focused, be where we're supposed to be, and be clean. And I'm going to add a fourth B, to be with Him. If you will submit yourself to Christ, that we all can be with Him. If there's any way that we can help you, maybe you just need a hug.